To be honest with you, I feel like a juggler today. I know a juggler has three balls, but only has two hands. So you throw up one ball and hold two balls. And as soon as you're content with those two, there's one still floating in the air. So in order to catch that one, you have to let go of the other one. And then you're holding two, and then there's still one in the air, and you have to let go of one to catch that one. And that's how I feel. I have these three ideas. One is about the feast of the marriage of Joseph and Mary. Two is the idea of dancing with joy before the Lord, clearly in today's first reading. And then three, the message of today's gospel, where Jesus defines who his mother and his brothers are as anyone who does the will of God. So any one of these three balls could take up a lot of time, but I can't figure out which one to drop. So every time I drop one, there's something else in my hand. So let's just take these three in that order. I don't know how well connected they'll be, but each one of them is good, and perhaps for your own personal pondering, you can just choose whatever is helpful to you. First of all, this feast of Joseph and Mary, or the marriage of Joseph and Mary, this was a new idea to me. I don't remember when I first encountered it, but I'm pretty sure it was because of the Five Wounds Parish, because the Stigmatines who run that parish have a devotion to the marriage of Joseph and Mary, or what they call the espousals, the holy espousals. If you've ever been to the parish, you know they have a room there they call the Holy Espousals Hall. And that word espousals always struck me as a strange word, because we don't use that in English. But anyway, it basically means marriage. And January 23rd, according to that tradition, is the wedding anniversary of Mary and Joseph. So that's why I thought of that. Then when I had that in my mind and I saw that today's gospel mentions Mary, I said, oh, that's perfect. But in the gospel, there's no mention of Joseph and there's no mention of their marriage. So it's not exactly the gospel you would choose to focus on marriage. But for our purposes, I decided to find a liturgy in the Roman Missal that corresponds with this feast, and there isn't one. There isn't any liturgy for the marriage of Joseph and Mary. There is a liturgy for the Holy Family. There's a liturgy for family, which we're going to use. There's liturgy for wedding anniversaries. We could have used that. So that's what it is. Now, the reason I think it's good to reflect on this is because with all the confusion about marriage, it's always beneficial to look at Joseph and Mary and see how they loved one another and how their love for one another was fruitful in their family life. That's such a basic thing and such a lost art in modern times that I think it's always good to honor marriage. Okay, so let's drop that one. Now I pick up this idea of dancing with joy before the Lord. You could say that Mary and Joseph danced on their wedding day. They danced for joy in the Lord. They rejoiced to be able to do the will of God. Yes. But here it's David. And his reason for dancing isn't the marriage of a man and a woman, but the union of God and man, or the presence of God in our midst, which is an even greater cause for joy. The joy of a wedding feast is only a sign of the greater joy of the union of God and man. And so here's David welcoming the Ark of the Lord into the city, into Jerusalem. Now, there's no temple yet, but he set up a tent, a sanctuary, where the Ark of the Lord could be given a fitting place and given fitting honor. And as the Ark is being brought into the city, David just rejoices and dances. It says here, he came dancing before the Lord with abandon. Maybe this detail struck me again because we just celebrated the Feast of the Santo Niño. And one of the aspects of the Santo Niño devotion is joyful dancing. Simple joyful dancing because we rejoice that we have Jesus with us, that the child, the Holy Child Jesus is in our midst. That dance of the Capiteños is caracol, right? Is that pronouncing that right? Caracol? Caracol? caracol. This sort of came to my mind. I didn't see any caracol this year, but I've seen it. It's a very beautiful, simple dance, and anyone can do it. So anyone can join in, and the music is very happy, and it's just a fun dance. And it's fitting to have something joyful like that on a joyful feast. But what I did see in the news is the dance competition, or references to the dance competition at the Sinulog in Cebu, and that is not caracol. That is very complex choreography, professional choreographers, and professionally produced costumes worth thousands and thousands of pesos. You've seen these pictures. And professional dancers. Now, I'm not saying anything against choreography and dance, but it's not the same thing. It's like a line dance at a wedding reception where anybody can join in is one thing. And a ballet that you see at the CCP or something, that's another thing. They're both called dance, but they're not the same. Now, what David is doing here is spontaneous, joyful expression, rejoicing in the Lord. It's more like caracol. And that's, I think, a lesson to us that there are times when we should, when we're moved and when we are recognizing the Lord in our midst, we should be able to express our joy with dance, with song, music, without any kind of complicated routines. That's part of the Christian life, rejoicing. The charismatics have this sense. If you've ever been to charismatic prayer meetings, they sing and dance and shout. But the funny thing is, as soon as you say, we're going to have a prayer meeting at 7:30 on Tuesday night, and we're going to praise the Lord from 7:35 to 7:45, well, then it's not spontaneous anymore. It's scheduled. It's set up to do at a certain time, you do a certain thing. And you can imagine that when someone feels like they want to rejoice in the Lord, they dance and sing. But someone shows up at that prayer meeting and says, you know, I worked all day. I've got a sore throat. My uncle died last week. I don't feel like praising the Lord. And then there's the charismatics that you do it anyway. Because it's not because of how you feel, but because of what you believe and because of what you want to, how you want to express your love for God, no matter how you feel. And that's true. So this dancing before the Lord with abandon, like David does, is not the only way of expressing our faith and our love. To praise the Lord even when we don't feel like dancing is also, and even is even greater, expression of faith. Now, what the church has done in trying to teach us the way of praising the Lord has developed the liturgy. The liturgy is the highest form of prayer, and there's no dancing. Not spontaneous dancing like David, but in another sense, the whole liturgy is a dance. The whole liturgy is a dance of expression, of joy before the Lord and worship of God, and also petition before God and reparation. If you've ever spoken to a person who was not familiar with Catholic life and went to a mass, you know how thrown off they are when all of a sudden everybody stands up. And they say, what happened? Everybody just stood up. And then all of a sudden everybody kneels down, as if they know the choreography, and the person who's never been to a mass doesn't know what to do. You ever spoken to a person like that? It's always, anyone who grew up Catholic knows exactly what to do. You don't even think about it because you know the dance. But if you just show up and all of a sudden everybody stands up or everybody sits down, and they say, well, I don't know the dance. So I'm just trying to translate David's expression of great joy into the church's communal expression of praise of God, which is in the liturgy. Scholars often point out that this dancing of Jesus, of David before the Lord, is a precursor of what happened when Mary visited Elizabeth and the unborn child, John the Baptist, danced in the womb. He danced for joy. And Elizabeth said, as soon as I heard your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. So that's one of the connections here. And it's another affirmation that part of our life of faith is to rejoice, to rejoice before the Lord, to welcome the presence of God in our midst. Now, it's not only that, because sometimes we don't feel the Lord in our midst at all. In fact, we can't find God, it's dark and cold, and we don't feel good, and we don't feel like dancing. Well, then faith tells us, but the Lord is in our midst, even though we can't see him. The Lord is in our midst, even though we can't feel him, and even though we don't feel any joy, it's still right to rejoice. And that's what we do in the liturgy. No matter how you feel, the dance goes on. Okay, so that's another, that's second ball. Third ball that we're juggling here is this gospel about Jesus. Now, I've preached on this many times, so perhaps I don't need to dwell on it too much. If you weren't familiar with this gospel and its deeper meaning, it might look to you like Jesus is rejecting his mother, or the modern slang is diss, and he dissed his own mother. You ever heard that expression? If you diss someone, it means you insult them by your neglect, or you don't treat them with the proper respect. So Jesus dissed his mother. Well, no, I think you know that that's not what happens. Jesus, who is the perfect fulfillment of the commandments, including the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, here sees an opportunity to teach the people something that Mary already knows very well, and that is that the best thing to do, the best way to relate to him, is to do the will of God. So this is a beautiful revelation for our sake, not for Mary's sake. The revelation is this: whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. That we have a family, it goes back to what we're celebrating here, the family, that we have a family that is established on our doing the will of God. Regardless of who we're related to by blood, we can, and we are, we can become, and we are members of God's family when we do his will. Now, is this an offense against Mary? We don't know how she experienced it, but Mary lived by this principle: do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. So if Jesus in this circle says, do the will of God, well, that's what you do. Now, probably after he said that, he went out and greeted his mother. Probably, because that's what anybody would do, but it's not recorded in the gospel. Okay, so here we are. We rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the gift of marriage and family life. We rejoice in the marriage of Joseph and Mary. We rejoice with David that the presence of God is with us in our midst. We dance for joy. But we also find our deepest joy, our deepest fulfillment as human persons and as a human family in doing the will of God.